B-Pod Studios.
Welcome in, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Mark Farzetta, Trey Thomas. I like you a lot. I've liked you for a long time. I've been meaning to tell you. Sam Wilson, Jamie Lynch, Andrew Salchunas on the updates today. You feeling it, Trey? You feel that?
No.
How could you not?
Yeah, man.
I'll tell you this, this was a big problem, and I had a conversation with somebody who's kind of new to Philadelphia, and it was a very common question yesterday with something that I think a lot of outsiders don't understand about Philadelphia, and it goes back to kind of what we were talking about yesterday with Andy Reid, Donovan McNabb, but it was mostly about Andy Reid, and it was kind of like, why, you know, how come you guys, literally, this was the question, how come you guys ran Andy Reid out of town? And I'm like,
I haven't heard that before.
Exactly. Again, common question from a sports fan, not from Philly. And I'm like, 14 years? Like, running someone out of town doesn't take 14 years. That's like,
if it did, we weren't doing our job correctly,
no,
Mark.
Chip Kelly is being ran out of town.
Correctamundo.
Yeah, yeah.
But really, was that even us? That was Jeffrey Lurie being like, I'm the owner of the team, thank you very much.
That was Jeffrey Lurie seeing the errors of his way quickly.
Right. But the thing that I explained to them, and I explained this to everyone that asked that question, is that as a fan that actually did a lot of growing up in that era. I mean, 1999, I was a sophomore or junior in high school, right? So that's when you're, like, really getting into sports and all that stuff. And with Reid, you never felt like you were along for the ride. And I've said this with you guys before. It wasn't like you were invited as a fan. And every time he talked about the fans, it was always that stock, seemingly scripted line, oh, well, these are the greatest fans of the National Football League. And that was it.
Mm-hmm.
You never felt like you were along for it. And you had the same questions that a lot of the media members had. And the media did their job of asking the questions that the fans wanted asked, and about the run-pass ratio and all that other stuff. But the other thing about it was that when you saw Andy Reid one-on-one and you talked to him, even if you were at the media, nicest guy in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Jovial, cracking jokes with you, that whole thing. But you never felt like you were a part of it as a fan. With this roster, being in the locker room yesterday while guys were packing up their lockers and throwing everything in trash bags and all that stuff, Trey, you've been through that whole period.
Mm-hmm.
You really got the sense that you were always along for the ride. Like, you got a sense that with the dog masks especially, like, you were included in doing that. Even though you were part of the people that were probably doubting what this team could do on the field. But you still felt like you were along for the ride, like you were part. You were invited into the locker room. You felt like with guys like Chris Long and Darren Sproles, especially Nick Foles, that you were a part of what they were doing. And walking around that locker room yesterday only reiterated kind of what we got into in the early stages of yesterday's show, which was, I don't believe there will ever be a roster similar to the roster of the Eagles over the last 2 years that will ever be more beloved in this city than what we've experienced over the last 2 years. Now, you can look at the Super Bowl championships and say, oh, no matter what, they'll be loved. But it's one thing to win. It's another thing. Like, Jason Kelce put on a mummer's suit to do a speech on the Art Museum steps of that parade was absolutely incredible. There's talk about whether or not he wants to retire. He's talked about kind of still making that decision. If I had to bet my money, I'd say that he'd be back next year. But the overall theme in the locker room yesterday, if I could make a blanket statement about everyone that spoke, was the family environment of that locker room and how much they love the city of Philadelphia. Like, the connection that happened here. I mean, you could talk about, like, the 93 Phillies that didn't win, but you felt like you were a part of that as a fan. You could talk about other teams. You could talk about Allen Iverson's 76ers. You could talk about the Phillies that won in 08. It's almost like that Phillies team kind of watered it down just a little bit because they kept those guys around to the point where we saw their demise. But with this team in football, the turnover's so quick. You feel like yesterday walking around was the last hurrah for this roster. And it will be. It will be, unfortunately.
This run with this squad, with this team, the way you feel now, it took me right back to, like, the minutes after Chase Utley stood there and said, "World effing champion."
Right.
No, and I'm not kidding. Like,
no, yeah,
like,
yeah.
That brought as many people raised their hand and said, "That's not right. I had my kid there." No, that brought this fan base, like, "Yeah, this is us." And that did. That put an arm around that organization that at the time in 2008, that October, I sat there and said, "Wow, this fan base is all in on this team." I was thinking of that yesterday, and it's funny that you bring it up. I was thinking the exact same thing yesterday.
Chris Long, unprompted yesterday, I got a chance to speak to him for about 10 minutes, and he just went right into how much he loved this city. He talked about, you know, not being from here, but he felt like he's from here. And he talks about how much of a blast he had with Philadelphia, not in Philadelphia, with Philadelphia, right? It wasn't like an outsider or anything like that, accepted from the get-go. Credits Doug for the family atmosphere. Brandon Graham talked about possibly a hometown discount. Held the door for media members as they were walking out. Darren Sproles, now he doesn't know what's going to happen next year. Actually told me yesterday, Trey, that his daughter now wants him to stay home. doesn't want him to play another year. She now wants him to stay home. Malcolm Jenkins talked about the city. Just going around the locker room, these guys that aren't from here all felt like they have been welcomed in to the city of Philadelphia, and forever, like you, Trey Thomas, forever Philadelphians.
Well, yeah, man. I mean, we've talked about this before, about how players, everybody wants to come and play for this city. They know the fan base here, and they know the love that's here. You know, and it's not for the weak-minded. It's not for the weak, someone that doesn't have thick skin. But once you come here and you earn the respect of the fans, no one wants to leave here. They love the feeling that you get here. And that's a testament just to how the fans react to you. And like every player feels like, you know what, they're part of this environment. I'm not from here. I'm from Florida. Mm-hmm. You know, right now it's, about 70 degrees home?
You
know,
but you have a scarf. The man is wearing a scarf right now, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, yes. But, you know... But I love it up here. I mean, that's how it is. You know, you just love this environment and no one wants to leave. And especially when Doug did such a good job of making, bringing that family environment back to the city, back to the team. You know, guys love that feeling, man. And they, you know, now that the season's over with, they're like, all right, what are we going to do?
Right.
All right. I got to put my mic.
Yeah, no, that was me.
Yeah, you know, what am I going to do now?
I just want to, I'll tell you what I'm going to do right now.
I'm
going
to take a fashion play.
He
gave him the look.
He literally struck a pose.
Yeah, I mean, just don't take a picture of me any kind of way. You know,
I was going to give you a fair warning. Here's what I love about this. You're giving me the look as you're wearing your scarf and what do you call that kind of, Jeff Cap?
Jeff Cap, yeah.
And then right over you is the portrait of you that you painted of you.
All the time. I'll take it.
I'm going to tweet this out. Is that all right with you? That's going to happen. I just want to let people know what we're all looking at today so that when you call, you know what you're talking. You know exactly who you're talking to and the manner in which this man has.
I mean, we got LeBlanc.
We do have Craven LeBlanc.
We have LeBlanc.
He's going to call in at 9:30 today. I had the opportunity to catch up with him in the locker room. At 8 o'clock, Mike Kay of NJ Advanced Media, NJ.com, is going to be calling in. He was in the locker room as well. We'll get his observations. At 9 o'clock, Mark Zumoff will be on the program with us celebrating 25 years as the 76ers announcer. Jamie, I heard you talking about this. Yeah, that's like my whole life, basically. I don't know anybody.
No.
I don't know anybody else.
I was 12 when he got the job.
I was around there. Yeah,
I was watching the Sixers game, but I can't recall like being into the announcers.
Yeah, you don't listen to the announcer.
Yeah, no.
You're like, oh, wow.
Is my Sixers life.
Dana Barros. Michael Cage. Oh, my God.
Cage.
You're welcome.
Great wristbands out of that guy.
My brother loved Michael Cage.
He was a decent player.
He was like 75 when he played for the Sixers. He's the oldest player ever there is. No. So we'll talk to Mark Zumoff. I absolutely love Mark Zumoff. His whole thing with the run with Allen Iverson and all that, listening to his voice. I say that about that era. Allen Iverson obviously was what drew you to the games, but what made it a party was kind of yelling yes at the same time that Mark Zumoff is yelling yes. Right. And amongst the trees and all the garbage into gold and all that. I absolutely love Mark Zumoff. And we'll talk to him at 9 o'clock today. Also, there was some problems. It wasn't just all puppy dogs and ice cream yesterday. Some problems might have arisen yesterday at the Eagles locker room, and that had to do with Carson Wentz. A couple of things that stuck out to me with Carson, and we'll get into this more as the show goes on. Never discussed going on injured reserve. Said it was all about feel. All right, fine. Also, never really felt like himself this year. Whether it was the knee injury, the back injury, never felt like himself.
It's the best news he could have gotten.
Who did
if
he
you're
feel
an Eagles
like?
Fan.
Coy Detmer? I don't know. The team also, by the way, is going to do what's best for them. I'm glad he gets that. Every player, I think, in the NFL, and Trey, you know better than anybody, the team is always going to do what's best for themselves.
Yeah, you better learn that quick.
Like, there might be a respect.
It's a business.
There might be a respect there, but when the bottom line comes up, deuces. Mm-hmm. Pressure from Nick Foles as well. And Trey, you and I had the same kind of thought about this.
Mm-hmm.
no matter which way you slice it, Nick Foles' act is a tough act to follow.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not just about a Super Bowl ring. We're going to jump into that coming up in a couple of minutes, and we'll get into that conversation that Carson Wentz really brought up yesterday. We'll talk about Jamie Lynch's delayed reaction to this loss.
Yeah.
We'll get into that.
I had to have a couple beers last night.
And here's a question, and I know people hate my answer to this, and we got into this yesterday a little bit on Philly Sports Talk. The question, is this season a success for the Eagles? Would you determine it a success? We'll jump into that. Also, yes, Snoop Dogg was at a hockey game, and it was just as beautiful as you could imagine.
Love it.
And we'll also get into Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, because I don't know if you heard, they're free agents, and they could both be Phillies. What? That's right. We'll get into that as the show goes on today. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Wide open board if you want to jump in here in the next segment. Feel free to do so. Also discuss a little bit more what Brandon Graham had to say about possibly his last season here in Philadelphia. Time at the Fanatic is 6:11. Well, guess what? Everyone knows about him now because his first playoff game with the Eagles intercepts a pass from none other than Drew Brees. On the line with us right now, Mr. Cravon LeBlanc. Cravon, what's going on, man?
How you doing?
Doing good. We appreciate you coming on with us. You're on with Mark Farzetta. Also, Trey Thomas, a fellow Floridian. Mm-hmm. Bob Cooney and Jamie Lynch.
What's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Good, man.
Good.
I was just explaining to them about you, because you're down there from Belgrade, eh?
Yeah, I'm down there from Belgrade.
Okay, because, you know, I was just talking to them about the muck and trying to explain to them, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, like, you have some of the fastest guys that ever touched, that cleats have touched the football field from down that way.
Oh, yeah, man, yeah, you know, it's... That's that muck. That's that soil that we running on, chasing the rabbits and stuff like that.
I was trying to explain to him, man, these rabbits through the sugar cane fields down there.
Yeah. When they burn them.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Explain this to me. What chasing rabbits? What's going on?
No, it's like a season that go on when you when they burn the sugar cane down out there in the glades, and then like when you burn the sugar cane down out there in the glades, it's like a big fire out in the like. Sugar cane or whatever, and then like you have all type of rabbits. You have cottontails, you have regular rabbits, and all of them just like, you know what I'm saying, like scared or running around trying to get away from the fire. And we use that as like, you know what I'm saying, you can go out there for like defensive purposes and use the running the rabbit as like a receiver or quarterback or, you know what I'm saying? So like when the rabbit running from you and you out in that thick soil, that muddy soil in your feet, you know what I'm saying, stuck in that, and you got to generate all your power, all your quickness to get out that mud to just try to catch that rabbit. Because down there, you got some guys who sell rabbits for like $8, $7.
Yeah. Cravon LeBlanc, that's incredible. Yeah. That's how you get that agility, I guess.
Yeah.
That's unreal, man. Now, I gotta ask you, and I know you and I talked about some of this stuff yesterday, and it's great stuff, so I wanted to get you on the radio as well to talk about it. But, I mean, this season, first and foremost, the ups and downs for you, first off being added to the Eagles, then getting a chance to start. You've been around a little bit. I mean, with time with the Patriots, you were undrafted 2016. You get a chance with the Patriots. You go into the Bears. You play a little bit. The Lions. Then you're here in Philadelphia. What worked? What worked out for you here in Philadelphia that maybe didn't in those other places?
Like I told you when you interviewed me, man, it was just more so me just really getting a true opportunity. You know, a guy can only do so much with the lack of opportunity or less opportunity, I would say. So. Once I end up getting the opportunity here in Philly, man, I just took it and ran with it. And it was like, you know, adversity, you know, I always faced adversity throughout my life, but just, you know, coming in, not knowing the playbook, not really, you know what I'm saying, knowing the guys just yet, you know, having to learn the playbook as quickly as I did, you know, the odds were against me. And came out victorious, man, and just kept putting my head down. And you know, when I officially got the opportunity, I just looked at it as like, man, I'm gonna put my best foot forward. I'm gonna give Philly everything I got. This Eagle organization, the guys on the team, man, brotherhood, and just go out here and just be me and do the best that I can to help. you know what I'm saying, contribute to a team win.
Now, one of the things I've always kind of looked at when I look at the secondary, man, I really respect the secondary players just because you guys are like offensive linemen, just because of how much you need to be around each other, communicate with each other, how much you need to trust each other out there. Can you just speak on that a little bit?
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. It's very important to be able to not only communicate with the guys on the back end, but you got to have some sort of type of relationship. You know what I'm saying? You guys got to gel together. It's got to be that bond, man, to where when you hit the field, and you know what I'm saying? I know communication is a big part, but it's, you know, when you be around somebody for 2 months, 3 months, and you know what I'm saying? Y'all grinding together, y'all head down, everybody back against the wall, and you out there practicing, you out there communicating. It starts to become more so like, I don't even have to communicate. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously I have to communicate, but it comes down to, I don't even have to communicate with you because I know in my head and in my mind the type of player you are. I already know what you're going to do. It's like we kind of in each other's bodies. Like, I know, you know, when I was on Vontae's side, I know like certain things that I can do with Vontae that I couldn't do with Rasul. Or it was sometimes that if I'm on Rasul's side, like they're different players. So it's just know each other, and that's a good feeling.
Cravon, do me a favor and just take us through that first offensive play on Sunday. I mean, you know, it's an unbelievable crowd. They get the ball first, and then boom, all of a sudden, Drew Brees is attacking you. Just walk us through what it was like. You get on the field and take us to when you got the interception.
Oh, man, it was we in the Superdome, you know, 8-point underdogs. You know, nobody was really giving us a chance or a shot or to believing in us. But we knew as a team, as a brotherhood, that we, you know, that we believed in each other. We knew that what we could do, and we wasn't the same Eagles that we were when we first met those guys. And we know that it was going to be a hard game, tough fight to the end. And it was just like soon as like kickoff started, like you can feel the energy. You can feel like this is a divisional game against Drew Brees, a Hall of Famer, and you know he's going to give you everything he got. You know what I'm saying? So just going out the field on the first drive, and I think they ran, all of them ran vertical, like a jerk route. It was like one jerk route, and everybody else ran vertical. And before the game even started, Sean Payton was like kind of like analyzing my movements, you know, trying to figure out how I move, trying to figure out, most importantly, who I was, you know what I'm saying? and I think him and Drew Brees, they work good together on attacking guys and new guys who are out there on the field to see if, you know, they really know their stuff, they're really in the playbook, if they really know football and check his IQ. So, man, first play in the slot, I think they was on the minus 40 or maybe even midfield. And it was more so like, man, okay, I'm on tag in, you know, me against tag in. I think Drew Brees kind of like his eyes going deep because, you know, we all know tag in is 4-3 guy, he's fast and things like that. So I already knew what I was up against. And that was what was going through my mind was like when tag in came off steaming. All I had flipped and turned. It was like, oh yeah, he running a go route. Let me go on ahead and flip my hips and get into this foot race. And when I looked up, the ball was a little underthrown. And I just went up and grabbed that thing, man. It was like a big momentum change.
That's, you know what, you're chasing them rabbits came in handy right there. Keeping on the tag in.
They didn't account for the muck.
Yeah, you can't count the muck guys out, man.
That's real. Hey, now how many players have been in the league that's from down that way? I think Javon Curse from down there, Fred Taylor.
Man, it's a lot of guys, small town, but it's a lot of guys that come out of the muck, man. Just to name a few, man. You got Fred Taylor, Kelvin Benjamin, Travis Benjamin, me, Jatavius Brown. You got you know, Aquan Bolden, Janoris Jenkins. Who else you got, man? It's a lot of us.
Is Tryon Sanders from down that way?
Who?
Deion
Sanders?
Yeah.
Nah, I think Deion from Florida, but he's not from the Mutt, though.
Okay.
No, he's one of them Fort Myers guys, I think.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what that means, but it's Fort Myers. But last one from me, at least, Craven, because I know we got to let you go. But your background is absolutely incredible. Actually, I got one more for you after this as well. But your background's incredible. What you've had to go through. I mean, you've been an underdog really since the way beginning of your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely incredible. Can you talk about that a little bit and kind of how you've used that as motivation?
You know, growing up as a kid, man, like I said, like everything that I have worked for up until this point hasn't been given to me. It's always been me grinding for it, or, you know, I would say just not giving up, man, and always having faith in the man above, and because what he can do is amazing. And just in my childhood alone, with losing my father at 15, losing my brother, well, not losing my brother, but well, to the prison system and stuff like that, took a big toll on me as a kid, man. And I could have went left. I could have went all the way left, but, you know, I didn't want to put that burden on my mother. And it kind of clicked in my head that, and that I was the man of the house at that time. And for my mom, I just wanted to continue to, you know what I'm saying, make her proud and just kind of put her at ease as far as, like, everything we was going through. And I also promised my dad that, you know, I would do everything in my power and my will to get to where I am now. And it's kind of like, you know, it's paying off tremendously, all the hard work and everything that I put into this thing, man, each and every day. You know, it's finally getting noticed. And all I can say is glory to God, because without him, I wouldn't be here neither. You know what I'm saying? So I say that for sure.
Craven, that's a great statement to make. And certainly out of the muck, man, you've certainly made a name for yourself this year in Philadelphia. Are you hoping that this is kind of where you get to stick around a little bit? Have the Eagles given you any, I don't know, lead to believe that you'll be back here next year?
Oh, for sure, man. I love it here, man. I love everything about Philly. I love the fans, man. I love the coaches. I love the guys on this team, man. And it's truly a brotherhood here. It's more than a team, and I love to be around that forever.
Craven, you're a great guy to talk to. I really appreciate you coming on. Hopefully, we'll get you on again soon. Have a great off season, man, and congratulations on enjoying some success this season.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Thank you.
On the line with us right now, ladies and gentlemen, celebrating 25 years as your play-by-play voice for NBC Sports Philadelphia, Comcast Sports today as well, Prism, if you will, 25 years with the 76ers, Mr. Mark Zumoff. Mark, welcome in, brother.
Hard to believe, Harry, isn't it?
Hard to believe. It is hard to believe. Mark, seriously, man, it has been such a joy watching Sixers games with you doing the play-by-play for the vast majority of my life. And you are just a guy from Philly, grew up a Sixers fan. And if I would have told you when you were, like, I don't know, 13 years old, that this would be your job for at least 25 years, what would you have told me?
I would have said you were enjoying way too many adult beverages with Bob Cooney.
With Bob Cooney, of course.
I have to, and by the way, I enjoyed many adult beverages with Bob Cooney through my 20 plus years with him. I'm sorry, he's not on the beat. And by the way, before I go on, what's up to number 72, Trey Thomas? What a pleasure it was watching you all those years. But I digress.
Thank you.
Let me just say this. A kid growing up in Northeast Philly, you fantasize about this, and then all of a sudden, you find yourself in 1994 actually having the job. And because of that, I took it so seriously that all I really did from then until now was keep my head down and did my job and did it as best as I could. And I never really looked up. So now that this is happening, I'm looking up and I'm feeling a lot of love. I'm feeling it from my NBC Sports Philly family, from the 76ers family, my own family, of course, which I get every day, and above all the fans. It's really been it's been overwhelming for me, and I really can't express my own appreciation and my own bewilderment at it all, because it's me really just doing my job. But it goes to show you how much of an impression you make on fans' lives, on people's lives, doing whatever it is that you do on a daily basis. You just grind it out. You don't even think about it. And then something like this happens, and wow, it just blew me away.
Yeah, Mark, it was incredible. I mean, I got to tell you, and I know you and I have talked about this personally, but when I was in high school, that's when the Sixers were going on their great run with Allen Iverson, and every night was a party at like somebody else's house following those games and always having you on throughout that playoff run. And as you're screaming, yes, you know, we're doing the same thing whenever Allen Iverson would hit a shot or cross somebody over or anything. I mean, you really contributed to that run remarkably, and I mean, really, you just captured it. And the reason is, it's you can't fake it. You're from here, and this is how you grew up.
Thank you, Mark. It's nice of you to say, and I do believe that it's a lot of my passion where that comes from. I go back to the first year of the team when they came from Syracuse in 1963. My father took me to a game. We saw the old Cincinnati Royals, who are now the Sacramento Kings, Oscar Robertson, Jerry Lucas, Jack Twyman. And I just remember it all so vividly. I remember, you know, the bright satin uniforms and the lights and the hardwood and this old dingy arena with smoke. And even Dolph Shays, the late Dolph Shays, who was the player coach then, got in and played a few minutes. So it's visceral for me. It's something that I feel in my heart and soul. And that whole Iverson era was just unbelievable, with the cast of characters, with Pat Croce and shots of him with his friends in the suite, and just the resurrection of the team from, I guess it was 8 straight years where we never went to the playoffs. And here we had a team that really fit our culture. Skinny, small Allen Iverson, constantly going into the lane, getting trips to the line, getting 40, 45, 50 points. And 4 other guys who were strictly blue collar, and Larry Brown somehow coaxed them all the way to the finals. And think about it. If he did not rest his players as he did, I'm talking about Larry Brown, I'm certainly not pinning this on him, but if he had not rested his players in the final regular season game that year, we took on, I think it was like an 18-win Chicago Bulls team. And had we won that game, we would have had home court in the finals against the Lakers, and who knows what might have happened then.
Mark, you and I shared some very bleak years together as far as it went for the team and all. And my question to you is, you've been through a lot of bleak years. You've been through some terrific years. You mentioned the Iverson ones. I think the ones that you're going through now are very fun and probably only going to get better. How does it change your – I know you're going to say it doesn't change your preparation, but how different is it when you're covering a team, when we're announcing games when they're winning 10 games a season, as opposed to a 52-win, a team that goes to the NBA Finals?
Sure. So when we were going through the process, it was clearly making sure you were up to date, because players literally were coming in and out almost every week. So there was that aspect of it. And then what you had to do simply is tell their stories, talk about individuals, their personalities, the incremental improvements they're making in their games, that sort of thing. And, you know, hope that some nights you would actually be into a game. Now, this is like riding a wave. I won't say it's easier, but it's easier. Because, you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, you don't have to delve into things and apologize and everything else. Now you have, you know, we have the makings of what could be a great team. I know it's an unfinished product right now, and I know that they have to figure out their chemistry and figure things out on the defensive end. But my goodness, you have the makings of something very special here for a long time to come. And that has me excited. That has me juiced. And they're all great guys, and I enjoy my relationships with them. So it's so far it's been a fun ride, and I expect the ride to continue and be even greater as the years go.
Speaking with Mark Zumoff, celebrating 25 years as the 76ers play-by-play guy. Speaking of this roster as it is right now, you mentioned that chemistry. How confident are you that Brett Brown will find a way to make it work with whatever is going on behind the scenes with Jimmy Butler and the rest of the squad?
Mark, the thing that I like about Brett is he always has a 40,000-foot view of things. So he's not wringing his hands too much about one game or one possession or one incident or one whatever. He understands that what he needs to do is have his team ready so that by the time the playoffs come in April. And isn't it great, by the way, that we could speak confidently about the playoffs as opposed to wondering if the league will make the playoffs?
Right.
But be that as it may. So he knows that he has a timeline, and he realizes that it's a work in progress, and he knows what needs to be done. But, you know, the ups and downs of a regular season don't get to him because he understands the big picture. So in his mind, he just wants to get the team ready for the playoffs. You know that there are going to be tweaks to the roster by Elton Brand between now and the playoffs to bolster things and make things better. And listen, it takes time to develop chemistry. Don't you remember when LeBron James joined Miami? I mean, eventually he got to the finals that year, but my goodness, they had lost at 1.45 in a row, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And even Barack Obama was weighing in on the Heat and whether or not they could figure it out. So, you know, Jimmy Butler has only been with us since November, and that's not a long time in the NBA world. So, I think the pieces are there. I'm confident that Brett will get it done by the time the playoffs begin. I'm confident that Elton Brand will do what he can to make the roster better. And I think this team is in for great things.
Mm-hmm. Speaking with Mark Zumoff, any chance you'll wear like a Prism t-shirt tonight or anything to that effect?
Mark, that's such a great idea. I got it in storage. I might pull that out and put it underneath. I do have a 76ers tie that I think I'm going to put on with the Sixers logo on it. I'm going to do that.
So, all right, 25 years, Mark. So your first year was, do my math for me here, we're 93?
Right. So it was 94, 95.
Okay.
And it was John Lucas's first
year. Well, that's my question to you.
Yeah.
Name the coaches that you have covered, starting with John Lucas. Ready? And I'm serious. I bet you Mark can do this. Ready? Go.
Oh, my goodness. You really put me on the spot. I have my laptop in front of me.
No cheating. I trust you.
All right, so I got to meditate on this one. So I'm going to say John Lucas.
Yep.
And then we had Larry Brown.
Okay.
And then there was Randy Ayers for a brief period of time. And then Chris Ford.
Right.
And then Maurice Cheeks.
Okay.
You know what? I'm forgetting Johnny Davis for a year.
You are? Okay, very good.
Year, right?
Right.
I don't know. Do you have the answer?
I got it right here. Just keep going, Mark. Let it flow right after Maurice Cheeks.
I said John Lucas, Johnny Davis. Who did I say after that? You got to help me out.
All right, you last one was Maurice Cheeks.
Was Maurice Cheeks followed by... Well, wait a second. No.
After Larry Brown.
You got Jim. He said Jim O'Brien.
I did not say Jim O'Brien.
Okay.
All right, so let's start
this
again.
This is probably a little slow for radio, but all right, we'll give you Johnny. Really? Johnny Davis you started with.
Right, so we had Johnny Davis for 1 year.
Right.
Then we had John Lucas first.
Right.
Then we had Johnny Davis.
Right.
Then we had...
Get that laptop fire. Larry Brown.
No, we didn't have Larry Brown. Oh, yes, we did. We had Larry Brown. Then we had... I'm totally screwed up.
All right, that's all right. Randy Ayers, Chris Ford, Jim O'Brien, Maurice Cheeks, Tony DeLeo, Eddie Jordan, Doug Collins, Brett Brown.
That's right.
You've seen a lot. You've seen an awful lot of coaches. I'm not even going to ask you who all your partners have been because that might be another fruitless endeavor.
I could do that. That one I can do.
Okay.
So I had Steve Mix.
Right,
the mayor.
I had Bob Salmi, Snow, Ed Pinckney, Malik Rose, and I'll add Don Abbey.
There you go.
All right, Mark, last one for you. Name every player that's ever played in a game that you've called. Go. Mark, seriously, man, you're the best. And from I, I the passion that you have for calling games and calling Sixers games for your hometown, 10-9-8-76ers, it comes through the TV, man. And being able to experience that in my youth and to now knowing you, it has just been such a joy to listen to you and watch you work. So thank you for making Sixers games all the better as you've been doing games and stuff.
And Mark, having been on the road with you for the 9 years that we were, you made it an absolute joy to be out there going through the grind with you, and like you said, sharing many meals and drinks or whatever, and stories, more importantly, together. I can't give you my thanks enough for sharing that time with me.
Sam, let's get our takeaways of the day, brought to you by Schwartz Culleton. Get the money you deserve. Call 1-800-JUSTICE. Sam Wilson, what's your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway is happy 25th anniversary to play-by-play announcer for the Sixers, Mr. Mark Zumar.
Turning garbage into gold.
Yes.
Definitely. Jamie Lynch?
Two things today. I learned what the muck was.
Oh, yes.
And I also learned that 60 Minutes has a piece on the muck.
Oh, really?
That I'll have to find online and watch today because this intrigues me. That's an impressive list of NFL players that came out of a very small town.
We all have our interests.
And two, Adam Gase has the craziest damn eyes I've ever seen.
I like the one, I think Barstool did it with him chasing his eyes following the flying taco.
Yeah.
Bob Cooney?
Mine is a promise. My takeaway today is a promise. I have, as you guys know, a sophomore in college down in South Carolina. I just want to tell him, if you bring any of your college friends over, I swear to God, I will not serve you fast food. I will cook for you. I will order out good food for you. You come to my tan house, and I will get you good food. No fast food.
My tan house. Very nice. Trey, what do you got?
I don't know.
I'll tell you what you got. You got a scarf and a Jeff cap, and you look like $1 million.
Oh, well, thank you.
That's right.
All right.
When a legend dressed
like
a legend.
I like it more not piss excellence.
My takeaway of the day is that I've always wanted to be faster. So I'm going to go chase some rabbits.
Good luck.
Just like I want to make some muck. I'm going to make some muck, and I'm going to get out of it and chase some rabbits around the yard.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah, right.
A lot easier way to catch them.
Sit in a lawn chair. You know, my great-grandfather used to raise rabbits. That's a whole other story. Thanks for listening, everybody. Stay tuned for Gargano Martinez Middays here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
You got it, guys. Thanks for having me.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.